You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody ready?
Yes.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians, the fourth chapter. Colossians 4. I'm going to try to finish this out today. Notice my confidence. I'm going to try. Give it a shot. You know, this has been a good series. We've been teaching on Sunday mornings on Colossians. And the last few weeks we've been teaching on relationships, where Paul centered in on, you know, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, and doing everything that we do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a representative of Jesus Christ, or in Jesus' name. And then he just breaks it down as to how you do that. He talks about wives and husbands and fathers and children and employers and employees, and because that's really when you serve God. This, you know, we call this a worship service, a church service, but our service in serving God really is when we leave here, not here. Here's where we come together and we grow together, we fellowship together, we hear the Word, we get in power, we get our marching instructions, as it were. We may get fed here, yeah, but we're fed for a purpose. We're saved to serve. We really serve God and shine our light when we leave this place. It's easy to say hallelujah in here and I love Jesus in here. And that's good. It should be a refuge. There should be a sanctuary. There should be a place to run to. Church should be that. It's a place of help and healing and hope and comfort and a cure. It's a place, a safe zone where you should come and feel safe. Feel safe that I'm going to help you and bless you and not, you know, beat you over the head. And a place to get charged up, get fed. When you're fed up in the world, you come over here and get fed. Hello. Two terms mean the same thing, fed up and so on and so forth. But actually, as we leave here, we begin to serve Him. That's when we go out there and we do what we do in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live our lives and our families and our marriages and our business and our neighborhood and so on and so forth. It's important that we are Christians 24/7, and Paul talks about that. And then he asks and covets your prayers for him, and we went over this, I'm reviewing it quickly here. Praying for him as a minister, that he would get up and say the right thing and make it plain and make, you know, and help and bless and lift as he should, and make this scripture plain and be bold about it. God forbid I'd be wishy-washy about God's word. God forbid that I'd say, well, you know, you might try this and it might work, you might do it and it might happen. No, there's no might, there's no maybe. All the promises of God are yes and amen. God forbid I get up here and tell you you're no good and you don't count and you're worthless when God sent His Son to die for your sins. When He said, what does it profit man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God puts more value on a soul than He does all the world. You're of infinite importance to God and value to God. And your value is in Him. God forbid I tell you any different. In fact, if you want to increase your value, well, you just get closer to Him. Think about the prodigal son in Luke 15. You remember where he left his father's house, took his inheritance and left? The further he got away from his father, the less he was worth.
Yeah, that's right.
And the closer he got back to his father, the more his value increased.
Amen.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I mean, he got the ring, they killed the fatted calf and threw a party when he got home. See, as closer we get to God, the more our value increases because our value is in Him. That's where our value, that's who values you more than anybody is God. Contrary to what you might believe, He thinks more of you than anybody does. And He knows more about you, so don't go down there when you start helping someone and somebody will come up and say, well, I don't know why you're helping them. Do you really know them? Well, if you knew what I knew about them, you wouldn't help them. Well, God knows more about us than anybody and He still helps us.
Right.
Thank God. God sees everything and still believes in us. Wow. That's just awesome. So Paul talks about praying for him that he would make that truth plain, that he would make it, you know, clear. It's not about complicating the situation. It's not about taking something simple and making it complicated. If anything, we should take things complicated and make them simple. If it is a mist in the pulpit, it's going to be a fog in a pew. Hello. So pray for me that takes place. Then he talked about those that are without, you know, that we ought to have an answer to those that are without. Season with salt, that we'd be gracious and kind and loving and so on and so forth. Season with salt, those outside the church. So we don't condemn, we don't judge, but we do have answers. And with that salt, you know, we make them thirsty, as it were. and we draw them in. And he closes this out, actually, for the 7th verse all the way to the last verse, the 18th verse. He starts commending different people, talking about people that made this thing happen. Paul was not a lone ranger. He understood the power of we. He understood the power of the team. You know, teamwork makes a dream work. There's no I in team. We often think of Paul and all the places he went and all that he did and all the letters he wrote and so on and so forth. And we kind of look at him in a star, through star glasses, you know, like he's a star. But if you'll follow Paul and read any of his writings and go through the book of Acts where he preached and ministered there, there are all kinds of people around Paul. There are people assisting Paul. Paul was not alone. He was not a lone ranger, a lone wolf. This is not American Idol. Hello. This is reality. And he was quick to thank those people too and give credit where credit was due. You know, I'm amazed. A few years back, we sent the dream team, the dream basketball team to the Olympics to play the Olympic basketball. The dream team. I mean, it was some of the greatest players from all the different teams in the NBA. You know, they pulled all the greatest, the dream team. And got over there and got beat by just a no-name team from, where was it? Remember Venezuela, Argentina, somewhere down there? You think, they beat us, the dream team? This guy's making $50 million a year, you know. But the problem was, all those guys were awesome players and stars, and great players do play the game, but it takes a team to win championships. They didn't play together too well. They were the greatest of the great. I mean, they were the best of the best. But they weren't a team. They were from different teams all over. And then this other team comes up that was playing together. And I mean, they put the whoop on them, as we say in East Texas. So, you know, when you think about it that way, players may play the game, but teams win the games. Teams win the games. And we all have to play the game. You can't check out. You're here. But here's how you can start winning the game. It's joining up and hooking up. That's what church is about, see? That's what this is about. The things that we've accomplished here in this church have been an accumulation of a lot of gifts and a lot of talents and a lot of people that have worked and a lot of praying, a lot of people. The things we've accomplished that are huge right now are no more than just a long line of small accomplishments sustained and maintained over a long period of time. We just built one accomplishment on another success. And then now we look at the huge success. You know, we look at all the things going on, which is nothing compared to what's coming. Are you with me? Because I don't believe we shouldn't let success go to our head. Amen? And sit down. No. We need to press forward. Paul said, I forget those things that are behind. And he wasn't just talking about sins and hurts and pains. He was talking about successes. Don't stop. I'm going forward. I'm pressing toward the high calling, the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. So we need to go forward. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But it came from a team. 7th verse. Y'all found it? Notice what it says here. He says, Tychicus. Everybody say Tychicus. Now, many of you might know Tychicus, and many of you might not know Tychicus, but Paul used him on more than one occasion. In fact, he was like a messenger. He was the messenger of this book. He took this book to the city of Colossae. And it says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Think about that. So he brought that letter from Paul. Paul may have wrote this letter, but he was in prison. So he needed someone to carry it. And not just someone to carry it, but someone to give the spirit of it, the gist of it, as it were. A real living person there, standing there, that would give the spirit, not just the letter of the law. If there was any question, if there was any misinterpretation or anything out of context, Tychicus standing there would have said, no, that's not what Paul meant. I was there, I was with him. What he meant was this. That's what ministers do. You know that? Ministers put some life into the letter. And God calls ministers, and God gifts people to teach and pastor and so on, to put life in the letter. God sends you as a messenger to put life in the letter to your neighbor and to your friend, the co-worker and relatives and so on and so forth. It says, I love this, he wasn't just a brother, he was a beloved brother. Everybody say beloved brother. You can be any kind you want to. You can be a brother, you can be a beloved brother. A lot of us have brothers, and some of us have beloved brothers. Well, we'll move on real quickly from that point. Faithful minister. Not just a minister, but a faithful minister. There's a lot of ministers out there, some faithful, some not. But this was a faithful minister. I love that. I love these adjectives, you know. And it says, fellow servant in the Lord. Praise God. He will tell you all the news about me. You know, now Paul's not God, but when you think about it, in one sense, every minister has this obligation to take what God has said and bring it to the people and tell news about God. Now, that'd be impossible if I didn't spend time with God, didn't pray, didn't read, didn't study, and didn't do my part. I'm not here representing me. I'm here representing Jesus Christ. Hello. And I can't, you know, if I'm going to bring a message to you from God, then I'm going to have to be in His presence to do that. I'm going to have to at least study His Word, at the very least, and get in His presence to have something to share with you, because I'm sharing with you what He said. That's my job. My job's not to share with you my convictions, and I have some convictions, but I don't preach my convictions. I preach the Word.
That's good.
Yeah, think about that one. I preach what He says to preach. I minister what He says to minister. I don't minister what's currently going on in the world today unless the Spirit of God tells me to do that. Some people just preach right off the headlines of the newspaper. You know, whatever's going on, that's what they're going to minister on. There's nothing wrong with using current events if God leads you that direction. Some ministers get up and preach on what's currently going on in the church, maybe, in that local church. Maybe there's problems. And they go, bless God, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to straighten that out. But really, that's still not listening to God. That's just listening to problems. That went over real big. That's not preaching from the Bible. That's just preaching what you read on the news. Or preaching what somebody had a problem with in the church. Does God address problems in the church? Well, sure He does. But you can't do it when it's currently going on, I don't believe. And you can't do it mad, I don't believe. And generally, if I just get up this week and just survey the congregation and preach on what I hear is going on in the congregation, you're going to be mad, I'm going to be mad, nobody's going to get any help. But if I just pray and seek God, then one day it'll come up in a way when nobody's upset, in a way when I'm not even thinking about that's what I'm doing. I'm just ministering by the Spirit, and people receive it. Hello.
Praise God.
And God gets the glory, amen, and people change. You know, I don't let the devil pick my sermons out. Are you with me?
Yes.
As far as I know, nothing's going on in the church. Stay with me. And I do preach on things that do go on in the church by the Holy Ghost. But I get on my knees and find out what God wants me to preach. I read and study, and when I have an unction and a pull from God's Word to preach, that's what I preach. I'm here to tell you what's going on with God.
Amen.
Amen? You got all week to find out what's going on in the world. You come here to find out what's going on with God. And Tychicus was sent, as far as Paul was, with that letter to report them news about him. He didn't come to bring them news about them. He came to bring them news about him and what God was having to say, what God was doing. That's what church is about. Hallelujah. I know we're together, but we're not a social club in the sense that we do feed off each other. We do fellowship together. That's very important. But mainly, this is God's church. It's about Him. And you need to come find out that He loves you, that He's for you, that there's help for you, that there's a second chance and a third chance and 1,000 chances. And you can be used and you're important. God wants to use you. And you count with Him, hallelujah. And your future is bright. You can go forward. You don't have to live in the past. You can undo the past. You can go forward, praise God, and have a bright future. So it says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart. Now, I think that's twofold. When you think about it, he comes to them with Paul's heart. And then, yes, he's going to return to Paul and share what's going on with them. I've got that job to do. I'm here to minister to you. And then when things go on, I know your circumstance, I'm to report back to God and pray for you. That he may know your circumstances. Why know their circumstances? They know their circumstances. Yeah, but Paul didn't, so he would come back and report to Paul and let him know what's going on there at that church at Colossae. You know, you, if you want to minister at all, whether you're a pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, or just what we'd call a layman, your job is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you find out something going on, maybe it's not just right, you're to report back to God, not to everybody else in the church. I got one that's right. Hello. We're supposed to go to God with that, and that's what I'm supposed to do, is go to God with it. When I find out things going on, I report back to Him. I pray. I'm a minister. Hallelujah. I have a job. I'm under orders. I have a boss. His name is Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so we represent Him, and we share what He has to say. We find out circumstances in people's lives, and we go back to God with it. And this is so good. 8th verse, I'm sending you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, that's paramount. That's what church is about. You come here to get some help, to get some comfort. You know, as an old saying, even a hog will quit coming to slop if you hit him with a 2x4 in the head every time he shows up. Well, a couple of you got it. Maybe I talk about sin, and I do, and I talk about how bad it is, and it's true, it is, but God loves the sinner. He doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. And so as a minister, I should comfort you and give you hope and help and tell you you can make it, tell you you can come out of that mess you're in, speak up loudly, yes, against sin, because the world is in sin and does lie in wickedness, and it is dark and getting darker. But the church can rise above that. It can get brighter and lighter and lighter if we'll forsake that sin and repent of that sin and go forward. The truth is, you're better than that. The truth is, you can do better than that. The truth is that through Christ you can overcome it. That's the truth. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? That's what we should preach. Not that you're no good and you're sorry because you're doing all these things. The truth is, you've been duped, you've been lied to, you've been bamboozled. The devil has deceived you into thinking that's the way it is, and that is not the way it is. And you do not have to live that way. You can come out of that in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He can help you, praise God. And, you know, when tragedy happens, and it does happen in a broken, fallen world, we can get comfort and we can get hope. Praise God, there is comfort in God and comfort in the church. And I, of all people, as a minister, am here to bring comfort to you. I hope you know God loves you, and I hope you know we love you. And I hope you know we believe in you, and God believes in you. Well, Tychicus was a live minister that came with the message. God sends live ministers with a message today. You can read, that's fine, you can read, but there's nothing like getting under the sound of a live minister that God sends. Now, not pat me on the back. It could be anybody. I just happen to be what I am. God called me, not because I was anything special. He called me because He called me. He spoke through a donkey one time, so if I get to feeling real cocky, I can think about that. Hello.
Praise God.
Listen, I knew what I was before I got saved. I don't want an encore. I don't want a repeat performance. I am what I am by the grace of God, and He gets all the glory for that. If I'm smart, He made me smart. If I got a good head, He gave me a good head. Every gift I had, He gave to me. And so there's nothing to glory in. Are you with me? But that being said, we do need to recognize the fact that God does raise up ministry. And for a purpose. I mean, there is an anointing in this place when you come together and we read this scripture that is just not the same when you're reading by yourself. Can things come alive? Of course they can. Do you get excited when you read the word? Yes, I do too. But there is a different kind of anointing in a church service. Because I'm a gift that's been given to you. God gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Ephesians 4:11-12 tells us that. And so, happy birthday. Here I am. I'm a gift. But I'm, you know what? That's a sobering thought, because I'm not a gift to myself. I'm a gift to you. I belong to you in that sense. I was sent to you in that sense as a minister to comfort you, to tell you what's going on with God, to help you, to bless you. Amen. To bring this alive with that anointing on me and that gift on me, to make this burn, jump at you out of the pages, make it simple, make it plain. And Tychicus is one of those guys. He sent them with the letter of Ephesians also, and the letter of Philemon. Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians. Ephesians talks about him in the 6th chapter. So he's mentioned before. And then he says, 9th verse, he wasn't alone with Onesimus. Everybody say Onesimus. This guy was a slave of Philemon. Y'all remember the book of Philemon? Or Philemon, or how you pronounce it, depending on where you're from. That's what they put in light bulbs to make the light. Okay. This short book, Philemon, and Paul wrote that book to Philemon to ask him to accept Onesimus back, because Onesimus had left. But he was a Christian. He was a brother. And he said, I want you to treat him as a brother. He even told him, he says, now if he owes you anything, I will pay it. I mean, the whole letter of Philemon is about that. It's about taking Onesimus back. Onesimus had been with Paul, had left. Now he was sending him back with the letter. I think it's kind of interesting. Paul said this. He said, if he owes anything to you, I will pay it. Not that you don't owe me your very lives. For some reason, I don't think he paid anything. I just kind of guess from the way he worded that, he probably did not have to pay anything, you know. And he told him to accept him as a brother. But he was a helper in ministry. I think that was so good. With Onesimus, a faithful and a beloved brother also, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Hallelujah. I love that. When a letter comes, it lets us know what's happening. When I come with a message, I should let you know what's happening in God. You've heard about what's going on in the world all week long. You've heard about what's going on in the United States and what's going on in Wisconsin and what's going on over in Egypt and, are you with me, all around the world. But when you come here, you need to hear what's going on from heaven. What's going on in heaven's world? God's kingdom. You need to hear the good news. You've heard the bad news all week. Now let's come hear the good news. Amen. That's what I'm about. I'm a minister. So I'm sorry. If you want to go under, you've come to the wrong church. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. You can find that out all by yourself. If you want to be a loser and you want to fail in everything that you do, you don't need me and you sure don't need God. You can do that on your own. I did just fine before I met Jesus doing all that stuff. But if you want to win and you want to go over and you want to change your life and you want a better marriage and you want a better life, well, come on. This is where you're going to find out how to do that. With the help of God, you can. Hallelujah. So Onesimus was there and Tychicus was there. And 10th verse says Aristarchus. You remember Aristarchus? You remember him? Just think all these names here. You're wondering about names for your kids. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus. Hallelujah. You know, I'm amazed when you read, and I've for years read through here, and the end of the chapter, he's naming off all these names, and I just wouldn't pay attention, you know. It's kind of like reading numbers, you know, where they're numbering all those tribes. Who cares? Goodness gracious, man. But there really is some good truth in this. What you're seeing book after book that Paul writes is that he had some roadies. He had a group. He had a team.
Amen.
And you know what? Some of them stayed with him a while. Some of them went out in ministry. Some people he ministered together with that wind up ministering themselves. I think it was Zig Ziglar said this. He said, there is something worse than training 10 men that are working with you and they all go out of the ministry and not keeping them. There's something worse than training 10 good men and not being able to keep them because they go out. It's being able to keep 10 men that you never trained.
Yeah. That's right.
That would be worse. Are you with me? I think over the years people have gone out. Rance was here. Pastors in Greenville now for over 10 years. Rance was our song leader for like 13 years, worked with our youth and was associate minister, preached for me. Just a great, great guy. And when he told me that God wanted him to start a church in Greenville, I said, no, he didn't. And he said, I really believe God wants, no, I don't believe that. And you know, we went back and forth on that, you know, and I said, now, Rance, you're going to do what you want to do, and that's fine. I love you. No matter what you do, I'm for you. I just don't think this is God. I mean, I told him. I said, no. And he was so gracious and everything, and, you know, we prayed about it, and we had him come up front, laid hands on him. Ron and Mo were here. We blessed him. I think we gave him a good offer, a real good offer. And they went and started a church in Greenville 10 years ago. And it was with our blessing. I mean, come on. It wasn't a split in the sense of the words, the whole other city. And he's just doing so great over there, just doing wonderful. Calls me all the time. I send him a CD a month so he'll have at least one good sermon to preach every month. I'm just kidding. Rance is an awesome minister. We've had him come fill in here, and you know Rance, Pastor Rance. I have to keep saying Pastor Rance. But what a wonderful thing to have him be here all these years and be trained in this ministry and then go out and start another ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. In fact, Robbie and Susan Moore, years before that, went out, and Robbie pastored a couple of four square churches, and now he's an associate minister, and they have several different ministers. This one church in Durant, big church in Durant, that him and Susan both are ministering out. They came out of our church. Went, you know, I'm going to miss some people, I know, if I keep thinking here. But that's good. That's wonderful. That's spreading the word. Amen. That's spreading. Yeah. Brother Osteen used to say he would love to come to church one day and put a sign on the door, closed, gone to the world. Amen. Everybody in the church went out on the mission field, you know.
Right.
Everybody left. That'd be an awesome thing. So that's a good thing. We all make this happen. Amen. Amen. Well, it says Aristarchus. Everybody say Aristarchus.
Aristarchus.
He's mentioned in Acts 19, Acts 20, Acts 27, and also in Philemon. Aristarchus is mentioned four other times in the New Testament. He was from Thessalonica. He was a Macedonian from Thessalonica that followed Paul around and worked with Paul. And he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Now, the King James, I believe, says the nephew of Barnabas. I believe, actually, in the Greek, it is cousin. But along with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. So, actually, this is kind of a commendation of these men also. They had this letter in hand commending them to the people so the people would know that they were okay. Paul said they're okay. And also they were people he sent to minister to them. I like that. You know, these guys are okay. That's what he was saying. I think that's important. You know, I really pray about people we have come through the church. We get a lot of calls from people to come to our church, come minister. If I don't know them, it's real simple. They just don't come. Well, I mean, I'd be irresponsible of me to have somebody here that I don't know. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to pray. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, it's about relationships. And so that's one of my responsibilities as a pastor is to guard. I mean, a shepherd should guard. And so we get people that I know they're going to bless you, people that are very gifted, that live good, godly lives. Are you with me? And so that doesn't pour over into the congregation. And so Paul's commending these people, and that gave them some confidence when they read the letter. And, you know, Paul, the great apostle Paul, said, hey, these guys are okay. They've helped me. They're going to help you. You know, I have a lot of friends come in ministry that I've developed, friendships I've developed over the years, ministry friendships. You know, I'll have people stand up here I've known for years and years. Don Murphy, goodness, I witnessed to Don for years, and he's been pastoring for over 20 years in my hometown. And, boy, he is a preacher. I'm telling you, that Don can preach. Woo! I love to have him come. Jerry Cox up in Michigan, good friends, you know, that I've known. Met him in Australia, and he pastors in Michigan. We met at a conference in Australia where we both were speaking there. But he's got a good spirit. He's a good man. He's been in the ministry and pastoring for 30 years as church. That's good. Those are the kind of people you want to have come through. I met with Deke Silverman a couple of times and talked to a lot of people before I had that little Jew guy come down here. But Deke's a blessing. He loves God. But I didn't have him the first time he called me. Are you with me? I didn't know him. He came over and ate lunch with us. I met him again in another place, you know. I mean, I want to know who's here in this pulpit. It's easier to stop it up front than it is trying to straighten it out after it's happened. Are you with me?
Yes,
trying to get up and, you know, teach on that. Now, I'm picking that Jew. He's a Christian. He loves God, and he's just a great blessing. Hallelujah. And he can sing those Jewish songs too. I love that when he does that, you know. Him and joy. The joy of his life. So this is what Paul was doing. He was naming off these people, recommended them also, and then he sent them for a purpose to minister to them. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. He didn't know how far he might go. He may go to another place, but if he does come that far, that's interesting because Paul didn't know how long he would tag along with Tychicus and Aristarchus. And Jesus, who is called Justice, Jesus was a common name. Then we think of Jesus as, you know, the only Jesus. But you ever notice in the book of Acts, it says Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. They would always juncture that because there's a lot of Jesus. Go down to Mexico, man. Every other guy you meet is Jesus, you know. And so they call him Chewy for short. And that's just kind of a nickname. I don't know why. Isn't that right? Chewy is a nickname for Jesse Jesus in Mexico. But anyway, this was Jesus who's called Justice. These are my fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. These were Jewish converts. These were people who were Jews that had accepted Jesus that worked with Paul. Y'all see that? They're of the circumcision. When you see the word circumcision, he's talking about Judaism, Jewish people. But they weren't the only ones that worked with him, because then he lists some other people that weren't Jewish converts that were Gentiles. I think that's interesting. So he had a conglomeration of a lot of people that followed him and helped him to make it happen.
Hallelujah.
And I think in a church, you know, and I, even today I'm looking around, a church shouldn't be white, and church shouldn't be black, and church shouldn't be Hispanic. Church shouldn't be old people. Church shouldn't be young people. Church shouldn't be kids. Church should be all that.
Amen.
There's no such thing as black church, white church, young church, old church, or just church. Oh, come on. And church shouldn't be rich people, and church shouldn't be poor people, and church shouldn't be middle-aged people. Church should be all that. We shouldn't be the hottie-totty church. We shouldn't be the down-and-outer church. We should be the church. And you know what? Nobody should be treated any different. Whether you got $1 million or whether you're unemployed. It should not make any difference to God, because everybody has great value to God. We shouldn't have class distinctions in church. I'm not talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about social class distinction. You know what I'm saying? Economic class distinctions. Oh, come on, get over all that. You know, there's an old poem by Rudyard Kipling called If, and one of the lines is, if you can walk with kings and queens and never lose the common touch, if all men count with you but none too much, everybody's important, but nobody's more important than anybody else. And the problem is sometimes we honor those that are high up to the detriment and to the chagrin or to the insulting or demeaning of those that are not high up. James talks about that, and that's wrong. Are you with me? So there shouldn't be any kind of distinction. Here's Paul talking about those of the circumcision, and he's got some that are not of the circumcision. It didn't matter. He had people helping him that knew the Lord. Hey, you know, and I said this earlier in the sermon. You might say, well, why is old so-and-so doing that? And maybe they don't know this about so-and-so. Hey, listen, everybody in here has got a story. Are you with me? Everybody's got a story. You would be probably shocked if you heard everybody's testimony. You'd be shocked if you heard my testimony. Come on. Jails and drugs, and I'm your pastor. Hey, I got saved. If God had shown you a picture of me back when I was running wild, I had hair that when it was wet, it fell down the middle of my back, but it never was wet too much, and when it was dry, it was like this. Okay. And it was natural. I mean, I didn't do any part. My hair was just kinky and curly, and I had a pick. I used to, you know, the pick. Remember the picks? Pick my hair, you know. Okay, there you go. There you go. All right. And I had this headband, and it didn't help. You just pulled the headband. I had a leather headband, and I tied it. And all it did makes my hair would come to here and then go like that. But you know, what does it matter? I mean, I was lost, of course, but even if I was saved, it wouldn't matter. What does it matter? But if God had shown you that, especially when I remember I was on the second floor of a jail cell one time, and I saw one of my friends walking down the street, and I was hollering at him. I'd been thrown into jail with a wino. And he all night long, he was hollering, give me a drink, and I just wanted to kill him. You know, I couldn't sleep. I'd been thrown in jail, and I saw one of my friends come, and I remember sticking my head in these bars, and my hair it probably looked terrible. I just somehow got a picture of that. If God took a picture of that and showed you ahead of time, there's your pastor. I wonder how many of us would go, no way. I am not going to serve God. No way. But see, God sees what we don't see. God sees what we can be. And he just doesn't care. Really, God just doesn't care. He doesn't care where you've been or what you've done. If you'll come to him, hey, he'll make a man out of you. He'll make a woman out of you. Amen. He'll make you the best daddy there ever has been, the best husband, the best mama, the best wife. He'll make you the best you can be. That's just what God does. He takes impossible things and makes them possible. He takes what we call losers and makes winners out of them. I know I am one. I got kicked out of high school. I never got a high school education. They wouldn't let me finish high school because all the things that I did. Not only that, they didn't just kick me out. They went to the police station so I couldn't drive on the parking lot because I was such a nice guy. That happened. That really did happen. And you know, I got saved. Hallelujah. And everything was different then. Everything changed then. My whole life changed. My whole attitude changed. All my dreams and visions changed. My passion changed. The way I live changed. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. 12th verse. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. Now see, if you remember, we started this letter out, it was Epaphras that told Paul about Colossae. Paul hadn't personally been there. And so Paul found out and wrote this letter to them. And he had met Epaphras, who was one of those Colossians. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Wow, that testifies to the power of prayer. He was always praying that they would stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That speaks to us volumes, that we need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our people. We need to pray for where we are. That they would not, don't criticize. Come on, just pray. Pray that God will help them stand. They'll be perfected in the will of God and complete in the will of God. For I bear him witness, 13th verse, that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Those are cities real close by to Colossae. It's in present-day Turkey. Back then it was called Asia Minor. The seven churches of Asia mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Philadelphia, Sardis, Laodicea. Those churches, Laodicea was one of those churches. This is before their demise. This is before they got lukewarm. This is written before 64 in the 60s A.D. Revelation was written around 95, 96 A.D. So this is a good 30 years before they got lukewarm. Where Jesus said, you know, I would that you were hot or cold, but since you were lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And he stood before the door. He says, I stand before the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He wasn't talking about salvation there. He was talking about a church that he couldn't even get into.
That's right.
Wow, what an indictment. He's talking to a church. I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open up, I'll come in. Y'all ain't let me in there. I want to get in that church. A church that wouldn't let Jesus in, basically by the lifestyle of what they were preaching and teaching. And that was years later. This was some 30 years before that. And it was all in that same area. I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, 13th verse, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Those in that other city. Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Notice he's just naming off all these people that were part of his ministry. Are you getting it? I don't know how we can just read and forget that and read through it and think of Paul as some lone ranger. He was not a lone ranger. Luke was a beloved physician responsible for writing the book of Acts. He wrote the book of Luke. He traveled around with Paul. Now, whether he had quit his ministry as a doctor or just followed Paul as a physician, I don't know. I'm sure he helped Paul on many occasions, although Paul believed in healing and got miracles. But it says he's a beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and all the church that is in his house. Now, some translations say that's Nympha, a woman, and it was a church in her house. I think if the more you research that, it probably is a woman. And they had a church in her house. They had a lot of churches in houses because they weren't established and they were highly persecuted back then too. But he's sending greetings now. I don't want to forget the people that are with me. I don't want to forget the people that are there. I don't want to forget people because it's not all about me. It's about a lot of people. Well, if you live your life this way, it'll be so richer. It'll be so much more fuller if you live for others and bless others. And then he says this, hey, we're going to make it. Y'all ready? We're going to bring this to a close. Today we're going to finish Colossians. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Amanda finished Hebrews in the young adult class. How long did you teach it?
Started May 9th.
May 9th, she started Hebrews and she finished today. She's a little slow, but that's okay. She's just like her daddy because I do the same thing in the class. I'll start a book study and we'll go for 6 months, 7 months, nothing. And we'd Blake and I'd do that. Okay, so he says this. Luke, the beloved physician, Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas or Nympha, whichever one, and the church that is in his or her house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans. They had a church there. Now, get this. and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. We don't have that one.
Right.
You know, we don't have every book that was written. We got enough. We got enough to get saved. We got enough to know God loves us. We got enough to get healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. We got enough to get our lives back together. We got enough.
Yeah.
But there are several books mentioned here. Did you know 1 Corinthians is actually 2 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is actually 3 Corinthians? Because in 1 Corinthians he said, in the letter I wrote before to you. Well now, you know, if you just know what before and after means, there's got to be a letter before 1 Corinthians. Right? So anyway, here's one mentioned that we don't have, but you know, it was the habit and the custom of these churches to read letters from one another. That's how the Bible got passed around, and finally it got compiled together in one book here that we call the New Testament, and then the Old Testament, is they would pass around these letters, and after a while they had so many copies of them, they began to duplicate and put it together in one group. And the letter of Laodicea was lost, but the rest of these, you know, got put together. They would read the letter from Ephesians, and they would read the letter from Galatia, and they would pass it over, and they would preach and teach all of it, just like we're doing here today.
Amen.
And then finally they compiled the Bible, and it came together, you know, early on, actually around 200 AD or so. We had a pretty good gist of what the New Testament looked like.
Right.
It was already well put together. Okay, so he said, read that letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, everybody say Archippus. Here's another guy. But he wasn't with Paul. He was there. Paul knew who he was. Acquaintance of his. He says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. That is a mouthful. That's just a mouthful. I know a lot of people think, well, whatever God calls you to do, you're going to do it, and there's nothing you can do about it because God called you, and you can't stop it. Hey, you can stop it too. You can completely get out of the ministry. You can stop and halt anything God called you to do. You have to take heed to the ministry that you fulfill it. I have to take heed to the ministry that I fulfill it. I've wanted to quit thousands of times, and I'd have been in sin if I'd have done it. Are you with me? But the thought sure came, and it sure seemed like that would have been the most convenient thing for me to do. Bless God, there's other places I could go. I hope you know. Y'all not the only ones know who I am. Oh, yeah, that kind of attitude. You know, you just pick up those kind of attitudes. And you know, there's churches I could go minister in. There's cities a lot bigger than Willis Point. There's a lot of cities a lot bigger than Willis Point. But you know what? God called me here. This is where God called me. This is what God called me to do. This is the church He told me to pastor. And I need to take heed that I fulfill this ministry. I have to take heed to it because God never told me to go anywhere else. Are you with me? The last thing God told me as far as just like a full-time ministry, what He wanted me to do, the last thing He told me was go to Willis Point, Texas. And until He tells me to go somewhere else, this is where I am. Are you with me? And that's the way it should be. Now, He ministered to me and told me to do other things, but never to leave this church, never to go pastor another church or go move the ministry somewhere else. No, I preach out. I still do that some, you know, and go to different countries. And I felt a strong call to Hawaii here in about a month. I'm going to go down there. And I just feel led to go to Hawaii. Honolulu, I want to go there. But anyway, and I'm preaching while I'm there. You know, it's amazing. We go on vacation. We look for a church to go to because this just consumes us. We're about ministry. We're about church. I love church. I'm a church person. I love church. Church is what God ordained. It's what He birthed. And I'm just lost without it. I've got to be in church, so I've got to go to church.
Yes.
I'm not just being a good boy and good discipline. Man, I just got to be there. I got to go there. Meet some people that love the Lord and hear some messages. And invariably when I do that, you know, it won't be long. They'll ask me to preach. But that's not why I do it. I'm preaching, you know. When I go to Hawaii, I preach every time I go. Okay. Got one verse. This is it, y'all. And say to Archippus, let's say it again. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. You better take heed to what God's called you to do.
Yes.
If you're going to fulfill it. You must take heed to it. You have a part to play. And then he says this in closing. This salutation, this ending, this salute at the end. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. That's how he ends his letter. Grace be with you. The grace, the mercy, the favor, the grace of God be with you. Amen. So be it's what amen means. So be it. Hallelujah.